Welcome to the Hey Soul Sister podcast, where Mel Histon will guide you through life's big questions and bring you one step closer to doing this crazy journey as best you can.
Hey Soul Sister, in the podcast studio today, I have Marissa Roberts, who is the founder of Beautifully Organized. She's a speaker, coach, fellow podcaster, and a mother of two girls. Hey, Marissa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. So Marissa is all about how to get organized and how to simplify our lives.
Yep, love it.
And I've asked her in here because I desperately need help. In that I totally need to, for coming into a new year, 2020, I so need to simplify my life. It gets insane. But before we start diving too deeply into that, Marissa, can you just tell us how and why did you create Beautifully Organized?
It all started to serve myself, to be honest.
Yep.
When I first became a mum was a really big turning point in my life. I was always somebody who was naturally good at staying organized, you know, getting on time, getting to places on time, finding things where I've lost them. Once I became a mum, I wasn't ready for the amount of or the lack of time or the lack of organisation that would be in my life. And I got really overwhelmed really fast. So I started trying to come up with little hacks that would make my life easier with the kids. And I was blogging about it as I went. And then I noticed that because I was blogging, this was 2010, 2011, so lots of us were reading blogs about feeding the babies.
Yeah.
And I noticed quite a lot of other mums were going, you know what, I struggle with that too. Here's what I do. And all of a sudden I realised I wasn't alone, which is a really big turning point. So, yeah, it all grew from there. And over the years I've found a few little things, like foundational things, that make a huge difference. And so it's kind of my mission to share that with people so that they don't feel overwhelmed anymore.
Which is beautiful, because there's something lovely about not feeling that you're a lone ranger, that you're the only one going through something.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yep, absolutely. It's nice not to be the only one, and it's almost like you form a little kinship and feel like, okay, things aren't as horrible as I thought they were. If somebody else is struggling and I didn't even know, then okay, I can get through it as well.
Amen, sister. I absolutely agree. So Marissa, a few months ago, I was sitting in a cafe one night. It was a Tuesday night, and I was catching up with an old work colleague, a woman who I worked with, say, 10 years or so ago. And I was sitting in this cafe waiting for her to arrive. And next thing I saw, about five young ladies walk in. They were in their early 20s. They came in laughing and they went and got a table. And I just watched them sit down, having fun, ordering dinner, catching up, enjoying each other's company. And I thought, that used to be me. In my early 20s, I remember my girlfriends and I, we used to love to do that. At a drop of a hat, we could call each other, because there was no texting back then. There's no Facebook or Messenger. But we would call each other and like, hey, let's go meet at Goldberg's for dinner or coffee and cake. And at the drop of a hat, we could totally mobilize. And that evening, we'd be having a really lovely time together. And so I was sitting watching these girls and I was starting to feel a bit envious, going, why is it not like that now in my life? Because I love my school friends dearly, but we find it so hard to catch up these days. We have to try and book things in weeks or months in advance, and then if we do manage to book something in, something comes up for one of us, or we end up, the whole thing falls apart and it just doesn't happen. But I know that it's not just me. What's going on? Why are our lives so much busier now? I'm like in my 40s. I'm like, why is my life so much busier and so out of control now compared to my 20s? What's going on for people, do you think?
I just think we're on 24/7 now. We're on 24/7, social media, technology, and so people assume we're available 24/7 because they see us online 24/7. Even if you just happen to be logged into an app, it looks like you're there and you're ready. And so that sort of availability default becomes part of our lives. But you know what I think is really interesting? Have you noticed how you try and get a group of friends together? And then you'll have four of you can go and one of you can't, right? Yep. And then what do? I tend to go, okay, well, if I can't see that person with the group, I'll book in a special time just for them. And then all of a sudden, instead of just one group outing, say in December, I'm booking in five separate meetups because I can't get everybody together in one go. So now my calendar is extra full. So the next time the group wants to get together, I go, well, I'm not available because I'm doing all these separate meetups to try and get to everybody. And the cycle continues.
That is so true. And I have found leading up to Christmas there's a lot of people to fit in.
Yes.
A lot of people to fit in and I can't see you then. You're right. I can't see you then. So I'm going to book you in then and that's an extra night or something that's filling up your time.
Yeah.
So when does being busy, from your experience with clients that you work with, because you work with one-on-one with people to actually help them organise their lives.
And simplify it,
Simplify their lives. When does just being busy become overwhelm?
I think it's really a mental thing. It's an internal thing. Busy to me is I have a lot on my calendar. Overwhelm is I can't cope with everything that I've got on my calendar. It's about more feeling like you can't meet the demands and expectations of other people more than it is about the 24 hours we've got in the day. And that's where the spiral can really occur because you're mentally exhausted regardless of whether you've got one or three things on your calendar for the day.
Do you know what? You just said something that really resonated with me, and that's meeting the expectations of other people. And it's almost like the perceived expectations. I really found last year I really struggled with that. And leading up to Christmas, I literally felt like I was crawling through mud.
Yeah.
That by the time we got to the 22nd of December, I felt like I was going to have a breakdown.
Yeah.
And when I had that downtime in Bali, because while I was there I had a motorcycle accident, so I was out of action for 2 weeks, I sat and did a lot of reflection about what I wanted for 2019, and I realized when I was reflecting that I have this perception that people have certain expectations of me around the charity, around Got Your Back Sister, and that really I had let that compound on my shoulders more and more and more, that I felt like I was carrying a mountain of expectation. And it was really hard to try and meet those expectations, but I was actually trying. I was trying so hard to meet other people's expectations that I felt like I was going to totally burn out and break down.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's like in an office situation, you know, where you get promoted to manager in your job and you think, yeah, I got the promotion. And then all of a sudden you're immediately overwhelmed. What if they don't think I can handle the job? I need to keep proving myself. And it gets bigger and bigger as it goes.
That's so true. And I absolutely resonate with that, with feeling that I have to prove myself all the time. And it's interesting, running a charity, charities survive on the goodwill of strangers, people making donations, people fundraising on your behalf. And I'm so grateful for that. But I worry constantly, does that person feel that I've thanked them enough? Do they feel loved enough? Have I done enough to make sure that they understand what the charity is about? Do they feel as though they're valued enough by me for what they have done for our charity? And again, by the end of last year, it was kind of breaking me.
It's an interesting point too, because you do have that sort of, I think we have to recognise that a lot of that is our internal systems telling us those stories, because I can pretty much guarantee that nobody who would have given to Got Your Back Sister last year would have been thinking, hang on a minute, I haven't received my personal phone call from Mel yet thanking me for it. You know, I'm never going to do this again. We feel good when we give, right? The act of giving is what makes us feel good. But you're right, when you've got everything coming at you from all different angles, and you think to yourself, well, I've achieved this much, I don't want to let it fall now, that's a whole extra level of pressure on our shoulders that we weren't expecting to have.
And I imagine for a lot of women, and especially mums, working mums, single mums, working women actually doesn't necessarily need to be around the mum, that there is a lot of perceived expectation around performing at work, making sure that your children are eating organically, whether that your children are being socialised enough, they're doing enough sport, a whole gamut of things.
Yep. Society in general frowns upon a woman who has the ability and the availability to relax. Have you noticed? As soon as we sit down, we feel guilty. And a lot of the time that's because people tend to try and book you in for something if they notice that you're not already frantically busy. So I noticed, for example, you know, when my kids went to primary school, a lot of my friends would say to me, okay, what are you going to do now that they're in school?
And yes.
I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do what I normally do, but I'm not going to feel frantic, rushed and harried and overworked anymore. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I'm going to enjoy it a whole lot more.
That is so true. And so I have my mindfulness guru, Charlotta Tharap Owen.
Love her.
Love Charlotta. And when I am struggling, usually with head stuff, with some stress, there's stuff going on, I go to see Charlotta because she totally sorts me out.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But about a year ago, I went to have a session with her and we were chatting and I found myself asking her for permission to watch Netflix on a Saturday.
Yep.
I was like, because my ultimate is to literally spend a day, like on a weekend or half a day if I can't do a full day, lying on the lounge watching Netflix. It's my total downtime. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just staring at the TV, brain off. I love it. I'm quietening my brain. But I had to get permission from Charlotta for me to allow myself to do that. Is that crazy?
That's when you know it's getting too big. It's getting too much, right? When you have to ask for permission from an outside party to take some time off.
Am I being lazy because I want to have a morning off a week and just lie on the lounge and watch TV?
No, not at all. I'm like that with going to the movies. I will go to the movies once, maybe twice a week. I don't care if I'm going with somebody or by myself. I just want to sit in the dark for 2 hours, eat the snacks and not have anybody ask me any questions. And for years, I had to justify that to all of my friends and family because I felt that they thought that I was really selfish in taking that time out. But it's only a couple of hours at a time.
Yeah. But by you actually telling people about that, you're kind of giving them permission to think about what they can do to nurture themselves.
Yes. Oh, that is a really good way to think about it.
Oh, my God, I had an insight.
Oh, love it, love it. I'm going to take that and share it away.
Yeah.
Let's get soulful on social media. Search the Sister Code Facebook page and follow us on Instagram.
So, Marissa, you help many women, both online and one-on-one, to get organised and to have a simpler life. What does a simpler life look like for somebody? What does a simpler life look like for me?
I would say in general, I would say a simpler life would be just a little bit slower so that you have a little bit more room to relax and breathe, kind of get into the moment. Not, you know that feeling we have when we're doing something but our brain is already preparing for the next thing that we're going to do?
Yes.
To simplify is really to kind of let that moment go, to baby step your way through something so that you're not constantly thinking of the next thing you're going to do when you're done with this one. Or even when we're talking to people, have you ever had that feeling where you're talking to somebody and you're really into the conversation but you know you've got something important to share, so instead of hearing what they're saying to you, you're thinking about what am I going to say next?
Oh my God, I do that all the time.
I do that whenever I'm overworked or things are too crazy busy. That's the first thing I notice I do is I'm always preparing for my next sentence instead of really hearing what the person's saying to me. And as a result, I can't remember the conversation later.
I'm incredibly guilty of that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my friends and family, work colleagues, everybody, because I kind of know I do that to you. Sometimes I cut you off because I'm scared if I don't get this thought out, I'll forget it.
Yes, because we're really, really busy. Yep. So being able to simplify a little is really about baby stepping your way through that moment mentally, just kind of slowing down the process and not feeling bad about, okay, but I could have fit more into this moment, but I didn't.
Yep.
Because there's many more moments in the future.
There are many more moments in the future.
Yep.
I've just hit 45, which for a long time I kept telling my kids I was 28. And this year I'm finally acknowledging and accepting that I am in fact 45. And that's something that I totally want to change about myself because I feel as though that time is running out. Yeah.
I hit 40 this year and there was a definite shift in the way I looked at my life. And it wasn't anything I planned to shift because I was the same. I've always felt 27, no matter how old I got. And I remember asking my mum once a few years ago, how old do you feel? And she said, I feel 27. And I said, yeah, but you have a 38-year-old daughter. And she said, you know, that's really weird. Yeah. So I think we all have a part of that, right?
Yeah.
But there's something about reaching 40 where all of a sudden it's like this mental shift occurs where we go, okay.
My years on this earth are diminishing. The amount of time.
So I need to be comfortable with what I'm giving to the world or comfortable with who I am and really just acknowledge that who I am and what I do is really, really valued.
Love it. Love it.
Get soulful and leave a review. Review us on Apple Podcast.
So Marissa, for those of us coming into a new year and we're reflecting and we want to simplify our lives, let's talk about some of your top five tips. What can we do to simplify our lives? Because I totally need to do that. I'm a constant work in progress. And this is for 2020, I'm about to simplify. That's my key word.
Yes, I love that. I love that you've even made it a keyword, and it's one simple word. It's not a sentence. It's not a mission. It's not an elevator pitch. Yeah, it's one word. So I do. I have a favorite five, and I like to introduce them in order, but you can take them and just dive in and pick what suits you the best. It really depends on how you're feeling in the moment. But yeah, my first one is to really just prioritize what you're doing. I know that's a bit of a buzzword, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It's really just looking at what have I got coming up? What's the one thing where I feel like the world will collapse if I don't do it and the rest need to sit behind? And then once you've figured out what the top priority is, just focus on that one thing until it's done.
Yep. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, Belinda, and she was saying that on a Friday, she spends a Friday having a bit of an easy day at work, but she's thinking and planning for what she's got coming up in the next week and what is a priority. So I guess that's totally in line with your number one
tip. Absolutely, absolutely. And you can do it at home with too, with your Sunday night prep for the week ahead. Just gets you ready for the next few days. So you think about one thing and then you do it and then you think about the next thing. And that mental baby stepping your way through it, that's what keeps the focus. So if you've got six tasks on your list for the next day and you think, okay, well, task one's really going to have me doing this, this and this, then those three parts of that task, you can focus on them one at a time. And it just frees your brain up. It's like it gives you extra padding around it.
Beautiful. Okay, tip number two.
Oh, number two is to get your to-do list out of your head completely and onto paper, or even better, into your calendar.
I love it.
Into your calendar. I love the calendar because you can write your to-dos. Okay, so I use my iPhone calendar. It syncs with my Gmail calendar. And so if I book something into either of those, then it will reflect on the other one, right?
Yeah.
So what I do is I write my to-do list by putting an action into the calendar with the time frame I expect for me to take it. It only takes an extra 30 seconds or so when I put it in. And then it's got a little notes area where you write your actual, I'm going to do this for step one, step two, blah, blah, blah. But because it's in the calendar, I can book it as busy and I know I'm not going to run out of time to do it then, and people aren't going to ask me to do extra things and me default yes as a result, because I already know that that time frame, I can't fit any more into it.
That's clever. I don't use my notes in my calendar. Actually, I never do, but I probably need to. I'm not great on a to-do list. I do one every now and then. I'm the mental checklist to-do list girl, which probably is why my brain's always fried. But Joey, who works at Got Your Back Sister, Joey is amazing. She's such a to-do list girl and I love it because she's all over it and she's like, okay, Mel, then she kind of keeps me in check, which is awesome.
I feel like your whole to-do list can be just checking with Joey this morning. Easy.
Joey, 2020, that's my to-do list, checking in with Joey.
Yep.
Love you. Okay, number three.
Number three is to book in your downtime as a priority. So when I work with clients who are entrepreneurial, we'll often plan 90 days in advance. And one of the first things I say is you need to book in some days for downtime that you can't renegotiate on, that you know you're going to be either doing nothing or relaxing or taking a day for Netflix and you're not going to feel bad about it because it's booked in as if it was a client or a customer or a to-do.
I love that.
Downtime first.
Yeah. And actually even scheduling in maybe a couple of long weekends.
Yes, yes. Or if you like to go for a facial or a massage, book that in as if it's a doctor's appointment, non-negotiable.
Isn't it funny because I have a tendency to make my downtime totally negotiable.
And actually, then it's not downtime then, is it?
You're right. And I have a tendency to say yes to everything. I can totally see why my life spins out of control.
It's really hard to say no though without worrying that you'll offend somebody, right?
And I read this book, The Untethered Soul. Oh no, The Surrender Experiment. Sorry, The Untethered Soul was the second book by Michael Singer. And so he was talking about how he did this whole experiment where he was just going to surrender to the universe and say yes to things. So I was like, I'm totally going to do that and say yes to everything. And awesome things have happened. I will say saying yes to things has meant I've done some awesome things, and for Got Your Back Sister, we've done some really cool things in the community that I'm very proud of, and it's having impact. However, it does actually start to impact. That's why I end up in a spiral of complete overwhelm and out of control.
That's where booking in your downtime can help with that, because you know that you might have, say, one full day a week where you've booked it in for downtime or free time or available time, and you can say yes to everything else. You just can't say yes on that day.
Okay, I'm making this commitment to you, Marissa. 2020,
yep.
I'm checking in with you, and yes, I'm committing to that. Diarising the downtime.
Yep, I'm going to send you a message every month.
Have you diarised your downtime?
Show me a screenshot of your downtime, Mel.
Love it. Beautiful. Okay, number four.
Okay, so number four is one of my favourites. I tend to respond very quickly if people ask me to do something because I have this innate need to please built inside of me. I feel really good when I can help somebody. And that's a great personality trait, but it leads to burnout like nothing else does. So I really love to incorporate technology into this one, and that's to turn off the notifications on my phone. And that's for everything, social media, email, WhatsApp messages, group messages, that sort of thing. I'll turn off those notifications and I'm stopped replying immediately to people when they email me. Even if I can answer straight away, I don't anymore because I often find that I'm replying to things that people can find the answer to in another way. And then me constantly putting out those small fires takes up my whole day, whereas for them it might have been 5 minutes, but I'm doing that for everybody.
Yes.
So instead now I'll turn off my notifications and I check my social media maybe twice a day. I'll check my email twice a day and I'll put on my out of office. If I think, okay, well, I've got a really important client who's going to want me to get back to them straight away, that's okay. I can put on my out of office that I'll be replying to all emails between this time. I thought it would be a massive upheaval to my friends and family and my clients, and it turns out it wasn't. It was exactly what they needed to see because it gave them permission to do the same thing.
Yes, I like that. That's like the previous point that we were talking about, you giving yourself or nurturing yourself and honouring yourself actually gives permission for other people to do the same.
Yes, yes. And it's not a new concept. Quite a few people do the same thing, turn off their notifications or batch. They call it batching your emails. So it's not a new concept, which is great because it means other people are going to be familiar with the idea of it. It's not a personal affront if you don't get back to them straight away.
I turned off my notifications on my phone for my emails, and I will admit that did make a massive difference. I didn't feel as much a slave to my emails. I have not turned off my notifications for my Instagram and it catches my eye all the time and then totally drags me out of what I'm doing.
You go down the rabbit hole.
It's the rabbit hole of social media.
Yep. You know what your next step is? Facebook. Okay. You can baby step through it. Facebook Messenger can be the next one that you turn off. So you can still have social media updates if you want to, but turn off the ones where people are going straight to you and need something urgently. Because their sense of urgent might not always be your sense of important in that moment.
That's true. And I have found with running Got Your Back Sister that a lot of people will personally message me via social media with questions or wanting help and assistance. And sometimes I'm like, it's too much, just email me, because that way it's going to the charity email and I'll get to that. But it feels as though I'm being bombarded.
Yep, from all angles.
From all angles, and especially things which are my personal Facebook account. Yeah. And I'm getting bombarded. People are messaging me privately. And I'm like, can you just funnel that through an email, please?
But you know what the simplest solution for that is?
What's that?
Just don't reply to the Facebook message. Because if you Facebook message somebody in your life, right, and they don't reply, what's the next thing you're going to do?
Either find the answer elsewhere or probably send them an email or something like that.
Exactly. Yep. And then they'll send you an email. They'll do it within the same 24-hour block in most cases, or they'll find their own answer. And if they send you the email and you reply on email, that's driving their future behaviour.
It's funny because even just talking about doing that, I feel ill at ease because I'm like, oh no, but then that makes me a terrible person because I'm not responding straight away or not responding to them via that way. It actually makes me feel really quite bad.
And it can at first. But the best thing to realise is if there was a my world is going to collapse emergency, those people could text you, they could call you, they could come and knock on your door.
Yeah.
So there are ways for them to urgently and importantly get in touch with you. All you're doing is a simple nudge in behaviour by not replying first to Facebook messages. If you do your emails first and then you think, okay, great, I've got some spare time, I'll tackle the Facebook messages, then that's fine.
Yeah. And in saying that, I'm just reflecting, and I know I've done that to people too, so I apologise.
I do it too.
I did it to somebody on the weekend. I messaged them about a work thing on their personal text message. I'm sorry.
I Facebook messaged you, Emily, last night instead of emailing you.
We've all done it. Yep. So it's like let each other off the hook.
Yep.
It's okay.
Yep.
Okay, beautiful. And what's our last tip?
Oh, this one's going to feel a little bit woo-woo if you're not used to it, but it's to get into nature. And I say that as a woman who loves air conditioning. And I get sunburned within 10 minutes. So I'm not a natural, beachy, parky, wilderness person. But I have noticed, particularly over the last 2 years, if I've been feeling overwhelmed, super busy, stressed out, or feeling like life is really frantic, then if I go and take 10 minutes outside – backyard, park, beach, wherever I am, just that 10 minutes outside with the fresh air, a little bit of green around you makes so much difference. It's almost like it triggers a natural response to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you relax into the moment. And you can take your phone with you if you want to. You don't have to, you know, go and do a silent meditation for an hour outside. Yeah. But as soon as you're outside with the fresh air and green around you, it's amazing how your body tends to react to it, and you tend to just naturally slow down, breathe deeper, enjoy the moment without even having to tell yourself to do it. So I find that that really helps with anxiety, and it really helps with you if you've been trying, say, meditation, but you can't get the hang of it because you can't get your brain to keep still.
Yep.
This is a nice baby step towards that, is just getting out into nature. It slows you down naturally.
I read an article once and it was talking about if you're feeling stressed or anxious or overwhelmed, to go and sit by a flowing natural body of water,
yes,
whether that's a waterfall, a running creek or the ocean, because the water spray produces negative ions which have a calming effect.
I love that. Mm. That's probably where it's grounded in, yeah.
Yeah. And before I had read this article, Craig and I were travelling around America actually, and we found this beautiful waterfall, and I sat there for about half an hour, and I remember that almost getting to the point of falling asleep sitting on this chair next to the waterfall. I felt so calm. It was just beautiful. And then I read this article and I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
It does.
It's actually about those negative ions that have an impact on your mental health and well-being.
I'm always amazed at what nature can do. For me, when I get off a flight, for example, if I can go somewhere where there's a fountain, that makes a big difference. If I yep. can't find flowing water, then somewhere with grass. Take yeah. your shoes off, walk around on the grass. It's amazing the difference it makes.
Well, Marissa, thank you so much for your wonderful tips on how we can simplify our lives coming into the new year. Where can people find out more around you or get in contact with you or learn about Beautifully Organised?
Easiest way is to go to beautifullyorganised.com. Whether you need help simplifying your life or your business, that's really the focus point. If you go to that website address, you can follow the pathway to wherever you need to go.
Well, thank you. And as for somebody who is not naturally organised at all, I really have to work hard to be organised or have beautiful people around me that are organised.
You can delegate it.
Yeah, I delegate. Love it. Thank you so much. I love those tips. And I think they're simple enough for us all to be able to do and reflect on. So thank you so much.
Lovely.
Thanks for joining us on Hey Soul Sister.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Hey Soul Sister with Mel Histon. What would help you on your crazy life journey? Email Melissa at thesistercode.com.